guys, welcome back to Midnight in the Mountains. I am here with Aaron again, and we are doing another episode of Signed Anonymous. How are you tonight?
I'm doing just fine this evening. It's a little rainy where I live, but, you know, it's always a good time for some ghost stories.
Always a good time for ghost stories. Before we get into it, how was your Christmas?
I had a fantastic Christmas. We got really lucky this year, and it was 76 on Christmas Day, so there was a lot of hanging out outside and being with family and friends, and just had a good time. What about yours?
It was good. I had a good time. It was real laid back. Everybody pretty much kind of ate and left early. I go up to my aunt's house every year, and so then it was just me, my aunt, and my cousin watching Christmas Vacation, laughing our asses off on the couch the rest of the night. So it was a good time.
I love that movie. I haven't saw it in years.
Right? That's so funny. We were quoting it the whole time.
It's one of those Christmas classics.
Yes. Okay, so before we start reading our emails, if you would like to send us an email, please email me at midnight_inthemountains@yahoo.com. You can also find me on Instagram at midnight_inthemountains. Okay, now that's out of the way, and we can start reading emails.
You're first this time.
Okay, so I have one that is called A Stranger in My Dream. Ever since I was a baby, I was frequented with night terrors on almost daily basis. Monsters, demon, night hags would often chase me, and I would wake up as a child screaming. These dreams occurred so often that I had sleeping problems throughout much of my early life. But as I grew into an adult, I developed a sort of mental resistance to them. Once a certain level of fear is reached, I automatically realize I'm in a dream and start fighting back. It's as though there is only a limited amount of fear or terror that my mind is willing to accept anymore before it activates its defense mechanism. I call these lucid nightmares. I know I am dreaming. I am now in control. No monstrosity, no shadow person, no night hag, no army of demons can hope to stand against me. For I am God in this dream world. I can be anything or anyone I want. I can wield any power or weapon I choose. Learning to vanquish demons and seeing shadow people cower in fear before me are now some of my favorite dreams to have. This day, however, things would be different. I remember it was a few years ago, and I was taking a nap on the couch in the middle of a lazy Saturday afternoon. The dream started off normal, not very interesting. I don't remember the particularities of the dream other than the fact that the setting was a sunny day in the park with nondescript people in the background. Then she arrived. If you're familiar with any Alfred Hitchcock movie, then you know what a dolly zoom is. It's an optical effect where the subject in the camera shot stays the same size while background quickly zooms away from the viewer. When she showed up, it was as if everything in my dream blurred and faded into black, and the new intruder was crystal clear in the foreground. This woman who came into my dream suddenly appeared as a 4K high definition image in contrast to my now low res standard definition dream. Her appearance startled me. The jump scare turned into fear, and then as usual, I became lucid. I now knew this was a dream and that this woman, whoever she was, didn't belong here. I was ready to defend myself. Before I go any further, I think it's best to describe her. She was Hispanic in her mid to late 30s. She was somewhat short and plain in face and body shape. I remember vividly that she was wearing some sort of trench coat dress with a small black purse slung over her right shoulder. This woman, for whatever reason, was soaking wet. I could tell she had curly hair that dropped a bit below her shoulders because it was all wet. It looked wavy. I remember thinking it looked like someone had dumped a bucket of water over her head. She struck me as being meek in appearance and body language. Her shoulders were slumped and her head was facing down. She had a look on her face that would be a combination of fear and sadness. But at the moment, I didn't care. She was an intruder. Whatever her intentions, she entered the wrong person's dream. You don't belong here. I bellowed in a thunderous voice as I grew to the sky, to the size of a skyscraper looming over her. The people in the park began to point and scream at her, and even the trees and the sky seemed to lean towards her in aggressive stance. Fire burned in my eyes. Electricity coursed through my body, and my hand rose in the air as if to drop Thor's hammer down on this new foe. But then something happened that I did not expect. She looked up at me with tears in her eyes. These were not tears of sadness, but of desperation. This woman uttered no words, nor made any sounds, but I recognized right away that she was at the end of her rope and she needed my help. A sudden wave of pity came over me. I shrank back down to come face to face with her. The trees and sky retreated, and the people in the background resumed what they were doing prior to her arrival. I bowed my head out of respect and the need to apologize. I'm sorry, I thought you came here for another reason entirely. I didn't know you needed my help. Instinctually, I knew what I had to do. I reached behind me and ripped open the dream as if one were ripping open curtains to look out a window. A magnificent and blinding white light shot out and filled the dream world while I held the hole open. I made sure to point my face away from the tear because, for some odd reason, I knew that I wasn't allowed to look into the light. There was no voice in my head telling me not to look. There was no prior information that I was privy to. It was something deep within me that just knew the particular rule of law. The living thing shall not look into the light. The woman hurried past me to enter the light, but not before she looked at me, nodded, and smiled. It was her way of communicating because it seemed as though she was unable to speak. Holding the tear open and trying my best to point my head away from the light, I was simply nodded back and smiled. Waking up from a lucid dream is simply a matter of opening your eyes. I was already aware of where I was and what I was doing in the normal world before that dream ended. So I woke up on the couch that Saturday afternoon. I'd laid there for a few seconds, staring at the ceiling and feeling very gratified that I was able to help a stranger in need. I write this knowing that there are others out there who share this kind of experience. I have heard some mediums speak of those who help the dead pass over in their dreams, regardless of whether the dreamer is cognizant of it or not. But I can't help but wonder, has anyone out there tried looking into the light? Signed, Anonymous. That question gave me chills. What a way to end that.
I know. The real thought is, if somebody did look into the light, how would you ever know? Because maybe they never made it back.
Right.
And it brings up, the lucid dreaming thing is kind of, I've heard of lucid dreaming. I've never had one myself, but, you know, just to have that intense of an experience in a dream, a little terrifying.
Yeah, that's definitely something.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine like having to be able to control your dream, you know, to where you're not just like, you're not watching it, but you're actually a part of it.
Right. And people do practice that. That is something that they can practice and control. I know that I've had dreams. I just remember there's dreams where I'd half wake up and I'd want to go back in the dream to find out what was going to happen, or say it was like a really good dream. You know, this is a funny one, but for instance, I remember there was one time I met Justin Timberlake in one of my dreams and he like wanted to date me or something, whatever. I mean, this was like probably over 10, 15 years ago, I had this dream.
What's funny is you still remember it today. It's probably just as vivid, isn't it?
My memory's pretty bad. Yeah. You know what I mean? Which, now that I think about it, I'm older than I realize. And it probably was at least 15 years ago that I had the dream.
You know, I've had vivid dreams before. Like the most vivid one I've ever had was, so I was trying to move from a night shift job to a day shift job. So I was trying to take melatonin just to kind of help me sleep and, you know, help me reverse my schedules. And the first time I ever took it, I had the most vivid dream of my life. And I was on a submarine in the Pacific Ocean, and I could feel the salty air. I could smell the ocean. I could feel the ship beneath my feet. I could hear the seagulls. And that's like the part that I remember the most. I don't remember what happened afterwards or anything. But when I woke up the next morning, I was almost tired because it felt like I hadn't slept at all. Like I had just been in that dream all night long and I just never took melatonin again because that was just the creepiest thing I've ever probably had happen to me.
You know, that's so interesting because I have friends that have trouble sleeping and I've heard stories and I'm like, oh, just take some melatonin. And they're like, no, I'll never take that again because they have these vivid and horrible dreams. Yours actually sounded pretty neat, but I've heard people, their daughter got killed or they got attacked by something. Like it was just an absolute terrible experience and they'll never take melatonin again. It's interesting that you had, it seemed to be a decent experience, right?
Yeah, it was a decent experience. It was just so intense that it wasn't something I'd want to do every night. It always seems like everybody has their own story about melatonin. You know, either it helps a lot or it doesn't work at all.
It works really good for me. I take it and then it knocks me out. But then I always wake up at 2-3 o'clock in the morning and then I'm wide awake for another 2 hours and it's trying to go back to sleep. It just seems so pointless. And then you're more tired because you're missing half your sleep at night.
Right. Yep. Yeah, that's a tough one. But to go back to the story, you know, the trying to help somebody pass into the light portion of it, I kind of think that that's actually kind of a good thing, you know, that you...
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, that you know, even if I don't 100% believe in, you know, religion and stuff like that, still just helping somebody out in general, that's a very good thing in my book.
Yeah, it almost... I wonder if there's just some kind of connection that he had with her in a past life that she basically came to him and asked him for help and he was able to help her. I've never heard of something like that, but it's pretty amazing.
That's an interesting point. I guess my counterpoint to that, though, is he saw her in such vivid detail that if he had known her, you'd think he'd probably recognize her?
No, I meant, say you and I knew each other in a past life, but if you saw what I looked like, I don't know, 100 years ago or something, you wouldn't recognize me because I'd be in a different body.
Right. Yeah, no, yeah. No, you're 100% right there. Like,
yeah,
they were connected in a past life, even if the same. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I got you there. I like that story. That was a good one.
I did too. That was good. I really liked their question at the end.
It brings up a good point.
Has anyone out there tried looking into the light? Yeah, I don't know.
If anybody listening to this has, we'd love to hear from you. All right. I think we're ready to move on to the next one.
Yes, we are. And you are going to take that one.
All right. So the next one is called A Dog's Best Friend. I'm starting to get into some of the longer experiences as they tend to span over time frames or have different parts that are a little longer. This one is about Ruth, and it was difficult for me to write. It's not a scary experience. It's a little on the opposite end of the spectrum. Hopefully it'll be useful. This was a hard story to write, and it spans from 1987 to 1988 to the current year. This is a story about a mutt named Root. My mother brought this little runt of a pup home sometime during 87 to 88. This dog was my mother's dog till she passed away in 95. On the day that my mom passed, Ruth laid at a spot on the other side of the wall where mom passed and did not move. Shortly after this, my little brother and I worked at trying to get her to become our dog. Eventually, Ruth chose me. She would listen to my commands and spend more time with me. It had been less than a year since my mother had passed. I was following the daily routine of taking Ruth out for a midday walk. Ruth saw something in our neighbor's strawberry patch and she struck fast. She pulled a rat from the patch and shook it and struck the animal again until it lay still. After she was done with the action, she had some sort of stroke or seizure. She couldn't move half her body. I had to pick her up and carry her inside. She was struggling to move and whimpering. She could only move half of her body. She then seemed to start to give up and I was in tears. I was sobbing over her and still hurting from the loss of my mother. I didn't think I had the strength to have another death. I prayed and pleaded. I offered myself to save my dog. Then a kind of peace came upon me. I lay my head on my dog's side. She whimpered a little, and then as I closed my eyes and felt the presence behind me, I thought of my mom at that moment as her hand was on my shoulder as my dog and I laid on the ground. A great stillness washed over me and I felt at pure peace. All the sorrow and sadness I felt at that moment faded away. I felt as if I had been connected to my dog. Right after feeling of peace started to fade, my dog suddenly wiggled out from underneath me and jumped up and started running as if nothing had happened. She was so excited, and I could still feel the tear streaks on my face. I was elated and amazed and roughhouse with her. After that scary incident, she exhibited few health problems within the house as long as I was there. In 1999, I went to college. I was only an hour away, but the distance seemed to affect Ruth's fur color. She was around 12 years old when I came back for a quarter break. Her fur was grayish black instead of black. Within a day, it seemed her fur went back to her normal colors. The rest of the returns for quarterly, she no longer showed the age appearing. I'm honestly not sure why no changes. Maybe things were adjusted to for the distance afterward. She was as surprised as ever, even when I returned home upon completion of college at the beginning of 2001. After college, I found employment opportunities lacking in my town. I had been thinking about the military for years for a variety of reasons, and my experience was lacking in how to market myself without a license. I joined the Air Force and went to basic training at the end of May of 2001. I was in basic for about 2 weeks when I had a dream of my dog whimpering in pain. I woke up in the darkness of my bunk with tears in my eyes, and I reached up into the darkness. I said I was sorry to the air that I wasn't strong enough to maintain the connection from Texas to Pennsylvania. I had no idea how any of what I did ever even worked. When we got authorized to call home later that week, I asked my stepmom immediately about how Ruth was. She confirmed my fears. She told me when Ruth suddenly got sick. The time frame matched up with the dream that I had some days earlier. I had a hard time keeping my military bearing when it was confirmed. The loss was hard, but basic kept my mind busy. I was in tech school when I was training for my job. I was struggling with understanding the stuff I was to learn. I was stressed out, and one night I had dreams reflecting the stress. I remember the dream was a troubled dream, and when I woke up in my dorm room, the daylight shining through the windows, Ruth came trotting in from the small area where our wall lockers were. She leapt up onto my bed, then she was licking my face and I was scratching her as I did in life. Then I woke up for real this time to a darkened room and silently cried, knowing she was there to comfort me, but I missed her so badly. I knew she wouldn't be there when I went back to my parents' house. The thing is, Ruth still shows up in my dreams to comfort me from time to time. She's been out of my life physically for 22 years, but is still there in the spiritual sense. I can tell you I had a dream with her this year where she sat next to me on a hill and I was saying to someone how she'd been there in my life for over 30 years in that particular dream. I miss you, Ruth, but like the rest of my family, we will meet on the other side. And this one will be signed anonymous. I love that story.
I do too. It's hard not to get all choked up and, you know.
Oh, no, I completely agree. I mean, dogs are... You know, they got the title man's best friend for a reason.
Absolutely. And you and I are both huge animal lovers.
I did. And this one kind of hits a little harder. I've lost two dogs in the past couple of months. And, been the easiest time.
I'm so sorry about that again. Oh, my goodness. I can't even imagine. One is hard enough. But two, goodness.
It was a time. But, you know, I value the time that I have with my dogs. I have tons of good memories of them. Yeah, I wouldn't trade that time for anything.
Oh, no, absolutely not. I just wish that they could stay with us longer.
Absolutely. As for the story, I don't think I've ever had a dream like something watching over me. Or I've never had something like that happen to me.
Or even just, you know, someone coming back to see you, trying to comfort you, and also saying, hey, I'm okay too.
Right. You know, even like, all my grandparents are passed away at this point. And, you know, I just never have had an experience like that. And, you know, to this particular individual, you know, to have a dog come back and, you know, especially a really loved dog come back and just kind of say, hey, everything's okay. That would be kind of nice.
Yeah, it would definitely be really nice.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think the next one we have is going to be a little bit of a long one. And so I think me and Laura are going to split this one up. I think I'm going to go ahead and let her begin.
Okay. It reads, I am the same retired police officer who reported the alien encounter. As I stated in that story, my family has always been involved with paranormal activity, and that first story told was not my first encounter with the strange and paranormal. There have been a few others. This encounter takes place on four separate occasions. twice as a teenager in my city of birth, and then twice as an adult in another city while on duty as a patrol officer. However, all are related by a very pungent, distinct odor. As I stated in my last story, due to my career, which was in law enforcement, my career was somewhat different than the day-to-day police officer and evolved into some very specialized areas requiring highly advanced knowledge and training. This has caused me to gain specific knowledge and required at sometimes disclosure and security clearance, requirements which even until this day are in effect for certain aspects of involvement in some capacities of my prior career. Therefore, due to this, as well as how it may affect others still working within the realm, I must be vague about true identities, locations, and some things I can't as of yet discuss openly. My first encounter with this was back in 1977. I was in my teens and living in my city of birth. My brother and sister had moved out of the house by then, and it was just me, mom, and dad. Other odd and paranormal events have happened previous to this and also after this, but none of them were anywhere as intense or frightening, at least to me. Like most teens, I had stayed up late into the night, and my parents had long ago turned in for the night in their bedroom, which was on the complete opposite side of the house. It was very quiet, and I was drifting off to sleep when I could hear what seemed to be a booming or low vibration pounding. It sounded like it was very distant and perhaps coming from a block or two away. However, that did not last long. Even back then, I was very much into music and of all things played drums. To me, that's what it sounded like. It was precisely rhythmic and sounded like someone steadily playing a kick or bass drum. Boom, 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 boom. It was getting louder and louder. I thought it was possibly a car and someone had the tunes cranked up, but all I heard was that boom, 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 boom. No vocals, no guitars, no nothing but that pounding. Then it was so loud that whatever it was sounded like it was coming from within the house. There was nothing I knew that could make that sound so rhythmically other than my drum kit, which I was looking at, and nothing on it was moving. The sound grew louder and louder, now pounding in my head. At the same time, I could feel the pressure in the room change. And even though I could not see anything, I knew something was in the room with me and standing beside my bed. A very unnatural fear came over me, a panic type fear. It was very primal and I began to sweat from it. Now the pounding was so intense, it was like sitting front row at a Who concert in front of the speaker system. Slam, slam, slam. It vibrated through my whole body like infrasound, and I could not shake the fear. So out of sheer desperation, I jerked the sheets off me and sat up and screamed, "Shut up! Just shut up!" I suddenly stopped and the fear and panic went away just as quickly, and I felt no more presence in the room. That is when I noticed the smell. What an odor. I never had smelled anything like it. The only way I can describe it is a heavy, sweet, sickening smell. I wanted to throw up. It was so pungent. Even though it was an odor, I could even taste it as it permeated my senses. It faded away after a few minutes, and I then thought of my mom and dad. I went to the room to check on them, and they were both sound asleep as if nothing happened. I checked with them the next day, and neither heard or saw or smelled anything the second time. Fast forward about a year later, and I come home from school in the afternoon, and I notice my mom's car at home. I go into the house, and I immediately smell that same sweet, sickening smell as from the time before. I find mom in her bed, sick with a headache. She had felt bad and came home early from work and went straight to bed. I asked if she was okay and then got an earful. She was mad as hell. She was trying to sleep and get rid of the headache, and she claimed that she could hear what she thought was my brother and some of his friends come into the house making all kinds of noise and talking nonsensical to each other, and said she thinks they were smoking marijuana as it now reeks inside the house. I asked her if she actually saw my brother, and she said no. She never got out of bed and could hear them talking, but could not make out what they were saying because it sounded like gibberish and thought it was due to drug use and smoking dope. Just to clarify, my mom was a bit of a prude and had no idea what marijuana smells like. Therefore, she attributed that smell to marijuana use. Also, my brother nor anyone else was home at the time this occurred. I also checked with him later and he had not been there at all that day.
The third time. Fast forward to 1991 and I am now an adult, a police officer, and on patrol in another major city different from the one I was born in, assigned to a specialized uniform patrol unit concentrating on high crime areas in an economically depressed area. Assigned to a two-man patrol unit, my partner and I were patrolling an area that had a rash of nighttime armed robberies from convenience stores and were checking the area behind one of them close to the downtown area. We were on a street behind the convenience store with no lighting. This would be a perfect place to park a getaway car, close enough to get in and out of the store without anyone spotting the getaway, as this street was littered with unlit, vacant lots and warehouses. I was driving and my partner was riding shotgun. I was cruising down the road at about 5 miles per hour so we could see all the good hiding spots for the robbers. As we cruised by an open grass field, our headlights revealed a person standing in the dark about 5 to 7 feet away from the road. This is not uncommon here as there are homeless and drug addicts traversing the area to get to the nearby housing project for various nefarious reasons. However, this guy looked like he's just standing there waiting on a ride or on a bus or something. As we got closer to just feet away, we could see he was wearing what looked like a black dress type coat with long split tails in the back, a white shirt that looked yellow in age as if it was 100 years old, and black pants. He was wearing a black hat that resembled one of those top hats that undertakers wore back in the 1800s. The skin on his face was an ash gray, and the skin looked more mummified and just covered his skull. But the most frightening thing was that he had no eyes. None. Just two solid black holes where eyes should be. He looked straight forward, never acknowledging us or the car as we slowly rolled past him. My partner and myself turned and looked at each other in unison, said, "Did you see that?" I slammed on the brakes. The speed I was going should have put him right at the rear bumper of our car. We both jumped out of the car and turned back to the rear and nothing. He was gone. Vanished in an open field that's both behind and in front of him. The nearest structure was the back of the store, which was 300 yards away. Even if this was a prankster, no one could have run off that fast and not to be seen. My partner walked over to the approximate spot where the man was standing. "That thing was standing right here," I thought to myself, so glad that he said that and saw him too, because I thought I was losing my mind. He looks at me and then says, "What the hell is that smell?" About that time, it hit me and I could smell it. The same unmistakable, sweet, sickening smell as years before. I instantly knew it when it caught my attention. He then asked, "Have you ever smelled anything like that?" I yelled with urgency, "Yes, get in the car. We need to get out of here." My partner ran back to the car and jumped in. I drove off and found a quiet spot to recoup. My partner then asked me if we needed to call hazmat. I realized when I told him we needed to get out of here, he thought the smell was a toxin. I then had to explain the prior encounters related to that smell and my belief it could be something evil and paranormal. He was already well aware of my past encounters and knowledge with the strange and unusual. It was one of the reasons he wanted to pair up with me due to my almost psychic ability to deal with suspects and witnesses. He had even some of the smaller experiences in the past as well. We made a good team. The fourth and final time. A few months after this last encounter, my partner and I were in the same area. It was a quiet night and close to time to go home. Dispatch put me out a possible home invasion in progress and was in the process of obtaining more information. We were only blocks away from the scene. This is a residential area, but known for trouble, and there have been several home invasions in this area, mainly due to rival drug gangs ripping off other drug gangs, usually turning into massive shootouts. We responded along with several other units and went silent as we approached the block the house was on. As we checked on the scene, the dispatcher advised it was a resident of an elderly female, and the suspects had just fled the scene but had no suspect description. The house was dark and quiet. My partner flanked me to the driveway side of the house in case there was a car parked around to the side, and I approached the front, taking cover behind a tree with my tactical shotgun. After the perimeter was secure and there was no visible threat, I had the dispatcher notify the homeowner to come to the door. She looked to be in her late 80s or early 90s, was so glad to see us and started crying. We told the responding cars to check back into service, and my partner and I would investigate and make a report if needed. After getting her calmed down, she told me she was sleeping in her bedroom when she woke up to someone kicking or pounding on the bedroom wall. My partner then went to check out the house. She said she got scared, dialed 911, told the dispatcher somebody was trying to break in. She went into her living room and then heard the pounding on the front door. The dispatcher told her not to open the door until the police arrived. It was just a few seconds later she said that the pounding stopped and they ran away. That's right when the dispatcher told her, we, the police, are outside and it's safe to come out. I asked if she saw any suspects and she quickly responded, no. I knew she was afraid and that she is very old, but my sense was she was being deceptive. I'm not sure if it could be someone she knows or possibly a young relative she didn't want to get into trouble. Also, her timetable seemed to be slightly off. Just then, my partner comes in and tells me to come outside. We go out to the side of the house the bedroom is on. He tells me to go stand by the bedroom window. So I do. Right away, I know why he sent me over here. The smell. That overly sickening, sweet smell. We went back into the house. My partner made small talk with the woman as I used her phone and called the dispatcher. The dispatcher told me she did indeed tell her to go to the safest spot place in the house, and the owner then said they are now at the front door. The dispatcher said she could hear the banging and told her not to open the door. She then said she could hear the owner sobbing, saying over and over, oh my God, oh my God. She said the phone was away from her face, but she could still hear her praying and then saying something about being reborn in Christ and commanded the devil to leave. Then the line went quiet. The dispatcher said that when you checked on scene and I told her the police were there, and it was now okay to open up. Then she hung up. I talked to the owner again and told her that everything was going to be all right. There would be no more banging on the walls or door. I then smiled and said, you told that man that you did not see with the black coat, white shirt, and no eyes that you were in charge here and that your faith was stronger than his fear and ran him off good. Her eyes lit up and she said, so you saw him. I told her, not tonight, but we have in the past and we ran him off too. My partner then told her that was some time ago and we are still around, so we know you will be awesome. She smiled and hugged us, and we also told her we would finish out our shift parked in front of her house, and from now on, when we were in the area, we would drive by and stop in when we could. We did for quite a while, and she had no more issues. Wish I could say the same, but there are more stories. Signed, Anonymous.
That's creepy.
You know, especially, I think the creepiest part to me is that that lasted his entire life, or, you know, as long as he's been alive, he's been, you know, frequented by that smell.
It almost makes me think of the Hat Man, but I've never heard a smell going along with it, so I don't know what it could be.
The smell makes it kind of interesting because, you know, smell is one of those senses that can immediately bring up a lot of different feeling. Like if you smell your boyfriend, if you smell his cologne, you immediately have, you know that's who it is. One of the biggest smells for me is my grandmother for Christmas and Thanksgiving would always make stuffing, but she always used a ton of sage in it. And so anytime I smell sage, it immediately takes me back to grandma's house every single time.
Oh, I like that.
So yeah, that particular part, you know, is that demon or the man in hat, has he been following the whole time, this particular individual?
Oh, I wonder almost if he knew that he was going to show up at the woman's house. Is that where you were going with that?
Yeah. I mean, like, which, you know, that's kind of interesting too. That just means that the ghost or the man in the hat is not a random thing. Like, he had a plan.
Right. Well, and also too, it kind of goes with the whole, I don't know if it goes with the whole time is not linear thing or if it's just more like these entities know things before we know them. I don't really know how else to explain it other than that.
Yeah. I like the time is not linear thing, you know, because we kind of know time is not linear. I mean, it all depends on your frame of reference. I have a feeling we'll hear back from him at some point.
I think so too. But I hope he doesn't see it again or smell it again, because that just sounds awful.
Yeah, but, you know, at the same point, though, you can also think about it as it's like a forewarning, right? You know,
right.
He knows what he's dealing with at that point,
mm-hmm.
just because of the unique smell.
I wonder if there's other people in that same area that have experienced, I don't know. I don't know what to think about that.
You know, it would be interesting wherever he was at that particular time to go in and just, you know, look for like reported stories from that area, you know, just to see if anything did pop up. And I bet there is. I bet.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. I think that was a good one. I like that one.
Yeah. It's definitely creepy, though. And it kind of struck me. It was interesting that they both, him and his partner, saw it on the side of the road. Because it just seems more profound when you're, you know, the person you're with sees it also.
And it makes it more real.
Confirms it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Especially, you know, two police officers, they both see the same thing. It's harder to trick two people than it is just one person.
Those were some pretty good emails tonight.
Yeah, they were. I enjoyed all three of these emails. And I mean, I have to thank you again for letting me be a part of it. I enjoy reading these stories and hearing, you know, all these people's experiences in life.
Thank you so much for joining me. I don't think anybody wants to sit here and listen to me read these alone.
I'd be happy to, Laura. And I'm glad you invited me along, and I'll show up anytime. To anybody else that's listening, please send us your emails. You know, we would love to hear your stories, or, you know, even if you have stories about somebody else, you can always send them in anonymously, and we'll be happy to read them out and do some commenting on them.
I think that pretty much wraps it up. So for everyone who has sent the stories, thank you so much for sharing them with us. And if anybody has experienced anything similar to any of these stories, send us an email. Let us know. I'm interested, especially if anybody's seen that mummified, no eyes hat guy, because that's a new one to me.
And for me, I want to hear about seeing the light and helping the, you know, has anybody ever really looked into it?
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to get out of here.
All right. Have a good night, Laura. And thank you again.
You too. See you guys later. Bye.